I'm sure you know these readings are not chosen because it's the 40th day of Mami Alice. They just happen to be the readings on Wednesday of the 13th week. And we have much to learn from the Word of God. This is true every day. It's certainly true in these readings. Maybe much to learn or very often much to be reminded of, because it's things that we know or we have learned, but we haven't really paid close attention, and we need to be reminded. So in these two readings, first of all, the story of the conflict between, the problem of the two sons of Abraham and Sarah's problem with her slave woman's son. And then in the gospel, Jesus encountering these two demoniacs with hundreds, if not thousands, of demons. So you could say the first reading has to do with the problems that we create for ourselves, because this is certainly Abraham and Sarah's own fault. They got themselves into this mess. And then the gospel, problems that are put upon us by evil spirits, which are much worse. We have our own problems, but evil spirits exploit our weaknesses and multiply the problem. So, but in both cases, God reveals that he can bring good out of it. He can restore. He can bless. So neither our own weaknesses nor our spiritual enemies have any power over God. And that's why we can keep journeying forward with confidence, because of the goodness of God. Well, I just touch briefly on this first reading, then we'll reflect on the gospel. In the first reading, it doesn't take a genius to know that this was going to turn out badly, because Abraham has two sons by two different women, and they're all living together. And of course they don't get along. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious that that's going to happen. Not that the children don't get along, they're little kids, but the mothers don't get along. And Sarah in particular just can't tolerate the possibility that the first child, who's not hers, but is the eldest, would somehow dominate her son, who's the second. Abraham doesn't see it that way at all, but he's got this conflict in his own household. Now, we usually look down on polygamy these days, and for good reason, but even in the ancient times, they experienced the problems. And very often, it's not the man who doesn't like the idea of having many wives, but the wives don't like it, and the families are divided, and there's a built-in disorder in the situation. Anyway, we know what happens. God allows Abraham to send the slave woman, Hagar, and her son, Ishmael, away. God allows it because he promises to take care of them, and he does. So at the end of the story, we see, even though a great injustice is done to this mother and son, God takes care of them. Because of his respect, because of God's honoring of Abraham, this son is a son of Abraham. So God isn't defeated by human disorders. But let's look more at this gospel where Jesus encounters these two demoniacs. These are not typical possessed people. These are really severely dominated by evil spirits, and to such a degree that they're violent, and they're living in among the tombs, and they're an extreme case. Even in the Gospels, we don't see cases like this very often, and certainly it's rare in our times, because there are sometimes people possessed by evil spirits, but they're not usually this bad. So this is an extreme case. It takes place in the territory of the Gadarenes. In Mark's Gospel, it's the Gerasenes. In Mark's Gospel, it's one demoniac. In Matthew, there's two. We can let the biblical scholars argue about where this happened and what the details were. But it's very clear that this is pagan territory, and these men are dominated by evil spirits. When it comes to reflecting on evil spirits, of course, there's a mystery here because we don't know exactly how these things work. But it's very clear evil spirits are bad news for those who are under their influence. And it's also clear that Jesus has absolute power over them. So we have a problem, but not for Jesus. And in every case where Jesus encounters evil spirits, he drives them out without any difficulty at all. So that's very important for us to remember, that in the battle with evil spirits, Jesus is always the winner, always, and without much difficulty. So we can see this in the context of our journey through the liturgy, especially since Pentecost, last month. Pentecost reminded us that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God Himself, the power of God Himself, the love of the Father and the Son. So we have all we need to be able to live according to the gospel, and no evil spirit can stop us. Then we celebrated the Holy Trinity, we celebrated Corpus Christi, we're fed with the very body and blood of Christ, we celebrated the Sacred Heart last week, Immaculate Heart. On Sunday we celebrated the Apostles Peter and Paul, two men who marched out into the world which was dominated by evil and took over. They drove out spirits, they healed the sick, they proclaimed the gospel. They were marching into enemy territory all the time, Peter and Paul. So we should have confidence that because of God, we don't have to worry about evil spirits. But evil spirits don't give up. Even though they're defeated, they're losers, they don't change their minds. They continue to oppose God and they continue to oppose us. So that's why it's important to reflect on these Gospels. Even though the battle is already won, there are still skirmishes all the time, in fact every day, with the forces of evil. Now, usually, Jesus, when he encounters possessed people, he just says, be quiet, or get out of him, and that's it. We don't really ask, where did these spirits go, what happens? He explains it in some passages, but in this passage, he allows a certain amount of a certain conversation to take place, which is kind of unusual. The possessed men, or the spirits of the who are possessing the men, are crying out, what do you have to do with us? Are you tormenting us? And then they say, if you drive us out, send us into the herd of swine. It's a weird thing to say. I don't know what they were thinking. They apparently didn't want to leave the area. I don't think that spirits have that much interest in animals, although they can use physical creation in ways we don't understand. See, that what's hard for us here is that spirits don't occupy physical locations the way we do. And so they're not linked to the physical world the way we are. They can easily go from one place to another. The theologians say that angels and demons, they are where they act. They are where they act. So if they act in one place, that's where they are. And if they act in another place, even if it's on the other side of the world, that's where they are. So they're not limited in the way we are. We can't get from here to the other side of the world without traveling a long time. Anyway, now we do also know that angels are assigned by God to specific places. If you think of the message of Our Lady of Fatima, the children of Fatima met the angel of Portugal. Remember that? So that means there's an angel assigned to Portugal, and he doesn't leave Portugal. So we have to assume that every place where God assigns an angel, that angel stays there and continues his work. Well, perhaps demons are also assigned to places until God kicks them out. Normally we think that in an exorcism, the evil spirits go to hell. We even say this when we pray the prayer to St. Michael. How does it go? Thou, O Prince of the Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits. Cast into hell. So Michael kicked these characters into hell. That's where they belong. But in this case, they're allowed to go into the swine. Now, God allowed this. Jesus allowed this. Go ahead, go to the swine. And now, Jesus didn't do it because he's obeying the evil spirits. He's doing it for our sake. He's exposing the spirits at work here, and showing that what these evil spirits are all about is destruction, self-destruction. Swine are irrational beasts. They don't decide whether to live or die. They're natural, like any animal, their natural motivation is always to survive. Every animal tries to live. So for a whole herd of swine to rush down a steep bank into the sea and drown is really weird. And that's not a natural action. Animals don't kill themselves. And neither do human beings, unless there's something seriously wrong. Either there's serious mental disturbance, psychological breakdown, or some serious evil going on. So what Jesus allows or reveals here is what's going on in the world of evil spirits. They are destructive, they are self-destructive, and they bring this spirit of self-destruction to anybody that they can influence. That's why Jesus allowed it, to expose this. Now we know swine are unclean animals. This is not Jewish territory. The Jews wouldn't have had a herd of swine, and they wouldn't even be caught near them. So that's already a red flag. There's something wrong with this territory from the Jewish perspective. But the weirdest thing, or the saddest thing, is at the very end, once Jesus works this great miracle, he saves these two men who were in absolute torment, sets them free. He rids the territory of the unclean animals. He uses evil spirits for good. You would think that the people would say, wow, something amazing is happening here, something great is happening. And the whole town comes out to meet Jesus, not in order to welcome him and thank him, but they beg him to leave their district. Now they're the ones rejecting Jesus. It implies, or it doesn't say it, but it implies that these evil spirits who were in the two men and then were in the swine have now influenced, or are now influencing, the townspeople, because the townspeople reaction is self-destructive. They are driving Jesus away from their territory. Bad idea, because to reject Jesus, to reject the truth, to reject love, to reject people who are made in God's image, is to leave us under the influence, or vulnerable to the influence of evil spirits. So it's a kind of a negative lesson. It's just to say, don't be like this. Don't be like this. Be confident in God's power over evil. Yes, absolutely. But never take the side of evil. Give no space to the suggestion that it's not good to be with Jesus, or it's not good to be under the kingdom of God, or it's not good to be live in the truth. No, drive out those ideas immediately, because they are not coming from what's good for us, from our nature. They don't come from God, so they come from evil. Okay, so as I said at the beginning, whether we're creating our own problems by messing up our family lives, or whether we're under the influence or being attacked by evil spirits, the answer is always God. He has no problem bringing good out of evil, addressing our disorders and blessing us anyway. He has no problem setting us free from evil if we're willing to welcome him into our hearts, into our lives. So that's what we're being told to do here, to welcome Jesus, his power, his love, his mercy, his victory, so that we can continue to journey with him, journey with hope for eternal life.